Tonight we have Dr. Lynn Jones. This is Dr. Bill Blatchford, and this is the A-Book call for the month of October. Lynn is a very accomplished dentist. She was one of the early accredited members of AECD and has practiced cosmetic dentistry in Bellevue, Washington, for a number of years. Not polite to ask a lady how long. And so, Lynn, when was that you got accredited?
I got accredited with the AACD in 1994.
All right. Lynn was just out of grade school at that time. She was very, very early. Lynn has recently reconnected with Blatchford. We worked with Lynn and her team probably 15 years ago when she was practicing in Everett. She built a very successful cosmetic practice in Everett and decided to move to Bellevue, Washington, closer to her home. And now, just a few months ago, she and her husband, Peter, joined Carolyn and I for a day at a summit, reconnecting primarily, working on time management. Lynn, I'd like to talk to you tonight about why you joined the Reconnection Program, what you were looking for, what you got out of the summit, what you and your team have done so far, and what you and Peter have been able to put together from all this. So why don't we start with why you joined us originally?
Originally, the first time through, way back when, or you mean...
Yes, go ahead. Why did you join us 20 years ago?
Yeah, 15, 20 years ago, I joined because I really wanted to do a better job of managing my practice. I'd been in practice for 5 years and was really not... I had no knowledge of how to do the business of dentistry. And basically, you taught me how to run the business of dentistry, and it was very effective. The practice became extremely successful. Time management was very relaxing. The income was really good, and it was amazing to me how easy it became to run a business after working with you and your consultants.
And then we worked for probably 5 years or so, and then you... sold the practice and moved to Bellevue. And why don't you tell us a little bit about that practice?
Well, I moved to Bellevue because after I became accredited, I became really interested in doing more cosmetic work. And if you're not familiar with the Seattle area, the Bellevue community is a high-end community. It's kind of, you might equate it, some people equate it to Rodeo Drive in Los Angeles, Bellevue to Seattle, similar kind of thing, high-end shopping, really nice high-end urban area, and it just seemed like a really good market for cosmetic dentistry.
I think we called it Yuppieville at the time.
Yeah, Yuppieville, that's probably about right. And it is a lot of fun to practice there. I'm really glad I made the move because it's been good for me to go from what was a blue-collar community, very nice community, but to one that I found very stimulating, very interesting, and certainly a lot of cosmetic dentistry desired in this community. So I've been having a lot of fun. I'm in a high-rise building, and it's surrounded by retail, although our location is mixed retail and business. So it's not like a mall setting. It's more like a mezzanine in a high-rise. And there's a Hyatt Hotel right there as well.
Now, just for interest, you also do most or all of your work under a microscope.
Oh, yeah, that's true. And that kind of has been an interesting journey because I chose to get into microscopes because of a series of back and neck injuries that were making it harder and harder to work all the time. And the ergonomics were the big attraction. However, the truth of the matter is you really don't know what your dentistry looks like until you've looked at it through a microscope, and I do think it makes me a much better dentist.
Excellent. Yeah. All right, so let's talk about why you rejoined Connection. What were your reasons? I mean, we're calling it the last quarter. We don't really know, but we did put together a plan for the next 10 years. What was your major motivation for joining Reconnection?
Well, when we moved into that high-rise, it's amazing how difficult it is to find space in a high-rise to rent a dental office. And the only thing we could find was a little 600-square-foot suite. And there wasn't really a whole lot we could do in that little tiny space. But then a couple years ago, I moved into a much larger office in the same floor of the same building. 1,800 square feet, kind of a normal-sized office with four ups. And I felt like we really needed to get reacquainted with good time management skills. Going from two ups to four ups was a big change for me and my team. And so I really wanted to get some coaching for my team on how to work in that kind of space and maximize our time to for better patient flow and being more efficient and more profitable.
Okay, so that was your reason for coming in. We started out with a summit. You and Peter met with us for a day. What did you get out of that? What were your objectives that day? What did you come away with?
Well, of course, we came in talking about time management, but we really got a lot more than that when we had that meeting. We talked about, you actually took us right back to vision, Bill. It was wonderful to go back to the vision and really, you know, what did we want to accomplish? And I don't think Peter and I were real clear on what it was we wanted to accomplish as a couple. Our kids have just finished college, and we're going through some pretty big transitions right now, and really hadn't gotten to that point of now what do we do next. And we got a lot of clarity in that meeting about, you know, putting together a plan to retire debt and have a good nest egg put away for when we do want to retire. And Peter and I are both, we really enjoy our work, and we probably would do a retire-as-you-go kind of plan. But
I should mention that Peter is an engineer. I would call him an environmental engineer. He works with waste disposal and self-employed, has his own business also, and so the plan was actually important to integrate both of your businesses and incomes and goals into one, heading towards, not that you want to retire immediately, but over a period of time. Both of you love what you do. All right, we talked, you had mentioned to me earlier, Lynn, we were talking, and you talked about how you decided to get serious about the business of dentistry, that you had practiced. Well, tell us about that, about getting serious and focusing on the business of dentistry again.
Well, there were a number of things. One of them certainly was getting more organized on case presentation and really doing more training for the staff. And so we've done a lot more team training. Another thing that we're looking at, in light of the economy right now and the changing desires from the patients out there, it looks like we may want to do more diversification. And it may be just a short-term thing, or it could be long-term if we see a permanent change in how people feel about cosmetic dentistry.
So Bellevue is a, for those of you listening, Bellevue is a very trendy town. It's right next to Redmond, Washington, the home of Microsoft. So there's actually a fair amount of money there. But even in that environment, you mentioned to us that you had noticed a more difficult to have the discretionary cosmetic cases accepted. So we talked that day about diversifying some of the things that you are diversifying into. Why don't you just name a couple?
Well, we've actually added quite a mix, and I got some ideas from you that had never crossed my mind. We were already starting to diversify into implants. I wanted to incorporate implant dentistry and IV sedation. Headaches, talking to our neurologists in the area and talking about headaches and what can be done in terms of TMJ management for headache treatment, and cross-referrals there, and also cross-referrals with sleep clinics and moving into more sleep medicine, which seems to be a rapidly growing field in dentistry.
And so those are some areas that we suggested that day. Now, we talked about time management a little bit and lifestyle. What are some of the things that came out of the summit in the area of lifestyle? And I don't want to say lifestyle changes, it may be realizations about lifestyle and how we can put this all together over the next 10 years.
There were a couple of things that I think have been a really good move for us, and I think you make a really good point, and I do remember this from our first round of training with you 20 years ago, and that is that working more hours doesn't make you more profitable. If anything, it burns you out and makes you less profitable. So if your schedule is a little light, cut back on those days. Maybe rent out that space even. And just condense your schedule into the days you have available.
Well,
Go
ahead. I was going to make a comment here that Lynn knows our daughter, Christina, who just started a dental practice, and she called me last night with some advice. She had a case presentation coming up today. She had an hour scheduled for it. And as we talked about it, I said cut it to 30 minutes, and then we talked more about it. I said cut it to 20 minutes, and then I said cut it to 10. Because it is absolutely true. The more time you spend in the office does not produce more income. Of the two economies that we talk about, of course, the time and effort economy most of us think about and grow up in, and our staffs, of course, are paid on time and effort. But we really get paid on results. And the thing I pointed out to Lynn and her husband, Peter, is they can take more time off and make just as much or more money. And I know they had a trip to Africa coming up, and they weren't sure how it was all going to work. And I asked Lynn, I said, well, you're turning patients away. And she said, no. And I said, well, then staying in the office isn't going to add any more income unless you're turning patients away. So I know they've got a trip to Africa coming up. And this is one of the premises that we teach, is that you're better off to take more vacations, even if you stay at home. You don't have to go to Africa, but you can just take time off, because you come back from a vacation, you see, and you go through the productive phase, and then you stay there in the office if you don't take a vacation at the end of that productive phase, and you'll all know when this hits. Then you hit the mechanical stage, and you're there, you're going through the motions, and then you actually get to the burnout stage. And by the way, your team members get to these same stages. And when you're in the mechanical stage, you're getting average results, but you're not really being real productive. And of course, you're headed towards burnout. And then you get to that point where you say, I really need a vacation. I really deserve a vacation. By that time, it's too late. So part of the premise that I want to get across to you doctors listening tonight is that our idea that we teach, and we've now proven this dozens and dozens of times, is it's production, vacation, production, vacation, production, vacation. And what we do is we help you titrate how long is that productive phase for you before you hit the mechanical stage. And so that was an important concept that we worked on with Lynn. Lynn, we also talked about some business things in the practice. We talked about block booking. You've now had our first seminar, the Dynamo, and you mentioned how you've really worked on case presentation, changing your marketing and block booking. Why don't we start with the changing your marketing a little bit? Talk about what you've done on that.
Well, probably the main one of the main things we've done is to go and talk to these doctors, medical doctors, about the headaches and
sleep apnea.
Sleep apnea.
Right. Lynn's had a long day. She's been in the CE course all day, so thank her for being here.
But the sleep apnea and the headaches. And we've been doing a lot more of, we've really ramped up our requesting referrals and paying attention to that and looking at our internal marketing, also looking at our 80-20 percentages.
Excellent.
And really identifying who our best clients are. And it's a good reinforcement for what you were saying earlier, Christina, about cutting your time down with your consultations. We looked at those 80-20. Mm-hmm. The people who got the dentistry, we didn't talk to them very long at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't find an exception to that in the whole list. There were some that had waited a long time, but when they decided to do it, we didn't have another conversation with them. They came in and said, I'm ready to go now. Let's do it.
Well, that's right. And what Lynn is talking about here in the 80-20 rule is we have learned over the years of coaching dentists that we get about 80% of our income comes from about 20% of our patient base, and we call those our top 20. The next 60% of our patient base we call the farm club, and those people are contributing about 30% of our income. And so if you're doing your math with me, you're now up to 110%. And then we find that the bottom 20% or so of our patients, we actually lose 10%. And so what we do is we actually identify each of those groups, and of course each of those groups is requires different behavior on our part, and we really take care of the top 20. We take real good care of the farm club as well, because they may be in the top 20 next year. But what we have found in most practices is most office policies are designed for the bottom 20%. And when I ask that in seminars, that's almost invariably the answer I get. And so as we start to identify these different groups, and of course we want more of the top 20, and then we want to focus on how to move those individuals from that farm club into the top 20. Now, we've talked a lot about, I know at the summit, or the Dynamo, you and your team, we spent a lot of time with you on case presentation. What has changed? What's improved? What have you instigated in your practice since the Dynamo in the area of case presentation?
One of the things that I really liked was, although we've worked a lot off of spin selling and asking questions and developing our case presentation from what the patient's saying and mm-hmm. not doing as much talking ourselves, I found it really helpful to focus on the funnel style questioning and the series of funnel questions, power questions, whatever you want to call them.
We want to call those the Blatchford power questions, Lynn.
Okay. Yes, the Blatchford power questions are a very specific series of questions that develop the... one metaphor I heard was closing off hatches of a submarine. Basically, when you go through these
yes.
questions,
mm-hmm.
you kind of eliminate the problems that develop later in a consultation. If you're having an honest communication with somebody, you very quickly find out what it is they want to do. So you find out how much time they have, how much they want to spend, you get the budget out early. The questions are designed to deal with all of those things very quickly. And it's not only is it a time saver, but I think if anybody who's ever presented a case has ever had a sense that they're sitting in a room having a consultation with someone and there's like you've got one wheel in the sand and you're saying the same thing over and over again or hearing the same thing over and over again and not moving forward, this just eliminates that kind of nonsense. It gets
very good. Or you're
to the chase.
Or you're sitting in the room having a conversation, but you're the only person in the room that knows what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's a really icky feeling.
And
but
now,
right.
I know you because you've worked with this over the years. I know your team is probably working on this, but what if any has changed since the Dynamo with your team talking to patients about treatment and asking the questions?
Well, they had a big aha moment when they heard about that the doctor shouldn't even be asking these questions
mm-hmm.
because we had sort of split that conversation, and I was taking the more needs payoff questions and the ones later down the line. But they've actually taken over more of that conversation, and my time in the room is much shorter, and they're being far more accountable and making these communications and handing patients off to me in a way that I know exactly where the patient stands when I walk into the room.
Excellent. We're just getting started on that. Now, you mentioned something to me earlier about the value of having someone else coaching the team members as opposed to you. Why don't you elaborate on that a little bit?
Well, that shows up in a lot of ways. And I think one of the things that we were talking about earlier was the case presentation thing, but I think maybe even more importantly was the 80-20 rule. I think so many dental staff have been trained so long to be operating that way that they tend to really automatically go in that mode, and if you tell them to do anything different, they don't hear it.
In other words, treating all patients equally and trying to get that last 20% into the office no matter what.
Absolutely. It's such a standard way to operate in dentistry that I think it's almost like if what you hear isn't consistent with what you've done all your life, it's like, oh, I must have heard that wrong, and click, whir, you go back into your old routine.
You know, one of the things
and so bringing them in to hear it from an outside source, and not only that, but to spend a fair amount of time developing the logic behind that thinking was a huge aha moment for them.
Very good. Did we work out the cost per hour? We worked out the cost per hour of operating your office. What was the staff's reaction to that? If you remember, we did that at the summit, and then of course in front of the teams we did that at the Dynamo as well, and that reinforces the 80-20 rule as well. What was your staff's reaction to knowing the overhead per hour?
that was such a great eye opener for them too, because they getting a handle on that number. Now I have to say the team I have is very experienced, and they really are mature and very willing to try new things. You know, so it's if they don't try something new, it's not because they're not willing. It's just that they haven't had the proper training or it hasn't been communicated.
Yeah, I think you've had the same team for a number of years. So.
Yes, I have, and they're great. And when they saw that, they were going, "Oh my gosh, you know, this really, I can see why we're talking about these numbers that we're talking about. They really make a lot of sense. It's starting to add up." And they also demanded more clarity, which I thought was great. Mm-hmm. You know, when they started looking at them, then they really wanted to understand them. I have two really analytical people on my staff who, that's how they get their arms around something. And they dove right in. They broke those numbers down. They dissected them and put them back together and went, "Oh, my gosh, we think it might be even more than it says here." You know, and they're talking about 5 cents an hour. But analyticals will do that.
Well, that's
They'll
right.
really, really look at it closely. So, no, it was a wonderful experience for them, and I think it was a real uniting experience for them.
Excellent. So you've been in practice a long time, Lynn. You've been very active. I mean, Lynn is active in extremely active in AECD. She was chairman of the board of the foundation. You've worked around a lot of dentists. You've seen a lot of dentists and had conversations with people who have excellent clinical skills and yet have not been able to put the business side together, and even though they've made a good living, they don't have the time off. And some of those doctors are actually listening to this recording. What would you advise them to do?
Well, there's a lot of workaholics in the AACD. I think that's the culture of the AACD. And I don't know that it's improving anything. I'm really happy that we decided to start going back to taking more time off, and mm-hmm. I feel like I'm getting much more value out of my dentistry, and I'm only doing things now if they're either creating income or creating value in my life.
And that's one of the things that we teach, is that you don't be doing two things. You look at all your activities you do, and this is one of the things that we coach heavily on, is if it doesn't create value in your life, you better be making money. And if it's not doing one of those two, then you need to delegate that to someone else. Lynn, talk a little bit about the value of coaching. I mean, you were in my coaching program years ago, and now you're back in. A lot of doctors would say, "Well, couldn't you have done this by yourself? Why do you need to hire a coach to do this?"
I mean, maybe some people can do it by themselves. I don't know. I know that I think even the people who think they're really good at doing it by themselves can get some value from coaching, because it brings in a whole new level of energy, a whole new level of inspiration. It's less about the information and more about the energy and motivation and vision that comes from the coaching.
Well, you know, interestingly enough, you mentioned this, and I mentioned it, of course. I really believe this. I actually have two business coaches myself. I have one that I go to on a quarterly basis with 45 other entrepreneurs of various fields, and then I'm working with a marketing coach as well that's working with us on vision and where to take the company, things that I don't even think about because we're so close to it. And it's amazing what someone who knows nothing about my business, knows about business in general but knows nothing about my business, can sit down and come up with ideas that I can't even see. And then when I see him, I said, "Oh yeah, why didn't I do that?" So I think that's one of the things that we see. Lynn,
there are a lot of ideas, and I didn't mention that, but I agree with you that you guys ran a bunch of ideas by me that I hadn't even considered. You have changed a lot in that 20 years, and there's a lot of new information as well.
Well, since we worked with you a number of years ago, we've done about 2,000 more offices, and we have picked up some things. And I learn a lot from my clients. I mean, a lot of the things that I'm teaching today, of course, are things I've learned from clients over the years. Whereas I think when you first started with this, I was probably teaching more how I practiced. You know, I was doing $1 million back in the mid-80s, which is about the time you started with me. And at that time, I thought everybody enjoyed running marathons for a hobby, which I did. And then I found that a lot of people didn't really like to do that and would say, "Well, why would you want, unless somebody's chasing you, why would you run 26 miles? And so it was kind of like practicing that way. Well, Lynn, one more question. I'll let you go. I know you're in Las Vegas at a CE course, and you want to go to a Blue Man group tonight. One question. Would you, knowing now what you know about reconnection for doctors that were in the program a number of years ago, would you do that again? Would you rejoin the program?
I wish I'd done it sooner.
Okay, good answer. And what would you say for doctors that are listening to this recording that are thinking about the Blatchford program and are just thinking about it?
I think to new doctors who haven't been in the program, it's been incredibly helpful for me. And I think that everybody I've known who's gone through the program has just gotten so much out of it. And people who think they know it all because they've been through the program, I don't know anybody like that, of course, but there's a lot to be gained from getting back into it. The value's there times 10.
Lynn, I want to thank you for your time tonight. Would you be willing to take some questions by email for people listening to this?
I would love to do that.
And what would your email address? Why don't you give us your email address?
You can send it to doctor@yourbestsmile.net, and that's spelled out doctor@yourbestsmile.net.
And we will put that in print for them as well when they get this, download the CD. So you can email questions directly to Dr. Lynn Jones at doctor@yourbestsmile.net, or you can send questions to info@blatchford.com. Lynn, I want to thank you again for being on our program. Thank you for your friendship over the years, and go enjoy your program tonight.
Thank you so much, Bill. Have a good evening.
Thank you, Lynn.